Hello and welcome to episode 82 of The Tech Reformation, where the world of technology meets the worldview of Christianity. I'm Ben.
I'm Craig.
I'm Derek.
And this is Tank.
This week, we're talking about online courses, young men in video games, Apple's new visionary, and Derek's got a secret.
Got a secret. So without further ado, let's get started.
Tank, what do you got?
All right, so mine's the online courses one. There's an article that was posted recently about Coursera, and they have raised $64 million more of funding recently. And so reading the article, it says that there's three areas that they wanted to grow in. To develop new technology in areas like artificial intelligence, to improve and personalize the learning experience, to expand its range of full online degrees versus just short and one-off courses, and to build up newer areas for nonprofits and businesses doing their own corporate development and training needs. It said that for Coursera, like in just discussing traditional learning versus online courses, Coursera is online learning, just in case nobody knows. So Coursera is saying its average MBA student is 37, married with children and a job, not someone who might have gotten a degree from University of Illinois. And so Coursera is targeting, of course, people who aren't able to go to these traditional universities. So yeah, for the discussion, I was wondering, what do you guys think of online courses in general?
I think online courses are great. A lot of them have much to be desired in terms of implementation as far as the tech goes. I've been a part of some online courses already. I mean, it's been, our company uses online stuff all the time for like training new people in solar work. Just like to get some of the book learning out of the way so that, you know, they can kind of get an idea of, you know, what's going on in the company. So that's really helpful. There's aspects to particular courses that I don't appreciate as far as like certain ways they do testing or whatever. That's not great, but you know, I think it's fantastic instead of, you know, shipping your people off for a day to, you know, an 8-hour course. You can, you know, every week or so, then you can just do it online.
I've used a couple. I've used Udemy. I don't know how you pronounce it. Udemy. And Treehouse. It's sort of both for, you know, web development stuff mainly. Treehouse was, I think, the best one I've seen in terms of structure and tech behind it. Like Derek was talking about, like just the way that it works and functions is really slick and smooth. They use a lot of videos to kind of introduce concepts and stuff, and then you work through exercises. And it's cool, but $25 a month for that one. The other one is kind of per course. They're all different depending on what the person who's running it wants to set the price as. I guess my thing, and I don't know what this says about me in like really, but I guess I work a little bit better under, I work better or best under at least a little bit of pressure. I don't love when everything's stressful, but I like having some kind of time frame and, you know, some kind of structure and knowing what I'm working towards and when I'm working towards it. So I guess the downfall of online learning for me is that it's so open-ended and free and, hey, come and do it whenever you want from any device, anywhere, and just, you know, in your own time kind of thing, that I always find that I pay the money and then forget to make it a priority because it's not something that I have to do. You do know what I mean? Like, my work wasn't requiring me to do these things. I was doing it to further my own knowledge and whatever. Mm-hmm. So that was my only real drawback, was that I ended up paying money that wasn't that well spent in the long run. Makes sense. I did learn some stuff, but...
Yeah, Craig is absolutely right. Online learning is not for you if you are not self-motivated.
Well, that's the thing. I'm self-motivated with some things, but obviously I wasn't with that.
My own perspective on online learning might be both clear and biased, clearly biased. because I'm currently taking classes online toward a master's degree from Southern Seminary, and I work for a web development company, who one of whose primary applications is a online learning management system. So I'm pretty pro online learning.
Nice.
Actually, now that you bring that up, I also did a 1 year. I essentially did a postgrad university course that was 2 years squished into one, which was horrible. It was the worst year of my life in terms of pretty much everything. But I got through it, and that was all online. It was actually based at the opposite end of Australia to me, so right up the top in Darwin, at Charles Darwin University. And it was teaching. I wasn't studying evolution or something, so don't let the name put you off. But yeah, that was all online through like the Blackboard system. And that was okay because it was university. So I had deadlines and, you know, live tute classes and stuff like that. So yeah, I think it just depends who you are and what the purpose is that you're needing to use it for.
Makes sense. So this article says that some have advocated throwing out traditional education and just that the future is going to be all studies will be online through online classes like this. And of course there's been other people who disagree, but what do you guys think for those who have used it or not? Just do you think that's a good idea to do online, or do you think it just takes a special kind of person like you're mentioning?
There definitely are huge drawbacks. That's such a broad statement. All learning will be online. I don't know if I would affirm that at this point. I would say there definitely is a lot more now than there has been. But one of the things, just in my own experience, that really grieves me is not being able to have relationships with professors, in-person relationships with professors. Because in my undergrad, when I was there on campus, I was one who would often go to office hours and email and call and take full advantage of the proximity. But online, you just can't do that as well. And you certainly can still try to, but it's not the same as walking into their office every day after class or every other day or something like that.
With the advent of VR and AR, I think we're going to find a much better application for online learning. There is still the forced proximity makes things easier for access with teachers and stuff, but I think once VR becomes ubiquitous, then this is, read Ready Player One. Like, there's just whole planets dedicated to, you know, education, that sort of thing. Like, I could definitely see that happening.
Yeah, but we require interpersonal, like, communication and interaction, right? It's not going to be all virtual,
which is a philosophical like question with VR in general, like, which we could go down another rabbit hole there, but
maybe through VR and AR they could have some way of the professor, you know, by hologram or something, standing in the room with you, and you can have a conversation with him like Ben was talking about,
and maybe your pastor can baptize you through VR. Just kidding, he can't.
So maybe Coursera is round E. I think they're on round D. So maybe Coursera is round E of fundraising will be to set up VR classes.
There you go.
But yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat that, like what Ben was saying, as far as, you know, you really lose a lot of interpersonal relationships, at least without the VR setup. And I'm doing online courses as well. And it's really just me in a box with my learning. Except they forced me to do some discussion board, which nobody really cares about rebuilding relationships to those discussion boards. It's just eye rolling. So yeah, that's all for my topic. What about you, Ben?
Well, this week I wanted to get y'all's thoughts on a blog post from actually one of the professors at my seminary, Jim Hamilton, posted on Desiring God a few days ago. About the title is Expect More from Young Men. And I'm going to read a little bit of this article because I think it's good. I really appreciate him. He's blessed me in particular through his ministry and writing. But I'll have to read a significant amount of the article for us to have a good conversation about it. So here we go. He says, throughout history, we have thought of our young men as restless, healthy, and built for activity. And then he says, the possibilities for young men are endless. We're eager to see young men exert energy because we all know what happens when you put testosterone together with capacity to work for the kingdom. And we also know what happens when you mix the same testosterone and capacity with idleness. The ancient saying proves true, he says. The devil finds work for idle hands. And then one of the most surprising things for me in this post were the statistics that he quotes. So let me give you a few of those. 1 in 5 less educated young men are not working and not seeking marriage and seem happy about it. 1 in 5. Young men between ages of 21 and 30 without a college degree worked far fewer hours in 2015 than in 2000. And in 2015, 18% of these men reported not working in the last year, up from 8% in 2000. Another stat, 70% of these young men live with their parents, up from 50% in 2000. 70% live with their parents between ages 21 and 30. And so, lastly, the reported life satisfaction of these less educated young men has gone up, he says. Not down, gone up.
Oh.
So, what then are these young men doing with their lives? And he says, according to one economist, they're playing video games. Leisure time largely spent playing games on computers and consoles doubled from early 2000s to 2015. So let me just get your thoughts on that, and I'll wrap up with his concluding thoughts because I think they're good. Is it bad that we're spending... I would classify us as young men based on the age range there. but is it bad? And we're all married and working. So maybe speaking about a different group than the one we're in. But is it bad that these folks are not working and playing so much video games?
What was the age range, did you say? Can you
remember? 21 to 30.
Are they studying?
No.
Okay.
One of the things the article clarifies is that they're not working, not married, not in school.
Okay. Yeah, that's not great then. We were created to work, and we were also created to be in relationship with people, which doesn't mean everyone has to get married. In fact, Paul tells us that if you can go without getting married, it's actually going to be better for you. You can focus more on the gospel work. But I think it does seem unhealthy, I suppose, if people are of that age bracket and particularly the male gender are sort of secluding themselves off into another world for their recreation to the detriment of other things. Doesn't mean video games are evil, but possibly there's something happening with our generation where our stewardship of video games is skewed incorrectly. I think it'd be fair to say that.
I feel like there's some data point that I'm missing here, that this is actually happening. Like, I feel like this is...
It seems unbelievable, doesn't it?
Yeah, this is a scenario that I feel like a lot of people who hate video games, like, propose, and that generally it's not true, but, I mean, clearly in this case, it seems that he has stats to back it up, so we'll just go with it.
Yeah, I did think the same thing, actually. I was like, I wonder how true that is when you kind of go from these are the things that are happening to the claim that video games are at fault.
Yeah, assuming that this is true... Okay.
For what it's worth, I don't think video games are at fault because I don't think
there's
video
neutral,
games
right?
are causing the idleness. Yes, anyway, continue, okay. Eric. What were you saying?
I misspoke. Sorry.
You're philosophically inconsistent. Okay. So it's assuming this is true, then yeah, I mean, there needs to be something done about this. This is not healthy. This is not healthy to be idle without work, you know, not building relationships. That's not the way God made us, what Craig said, etc. So, yeah.
So, I think it actually gets a little bit more serious as he starts to wrap up. So, as Craig rightly noted, and Dr. Hamilton also says, God created man to work. To expect a man in his 20s to remain jobless, uneducated, and unmarried while devoting his energy, employing his ingenuity, and exercising his creativity, surfing the web, or playing video games, is to expect nothing from him. And to expect nothing from someone is the worst kind of insult. And so, I feel like it's speaking to two very significant assumptions that our culture makes. And he speaks to it with maybe a little more force than I would, but I agree with his assessment of the situation. One is, it's not just okay just because they're more they're reporting higher life satisfaction. That just because you think things are great doesn't necessarily mean they are. And then the other thing is that we have a radical redefining of what love is. It's not just tolerating someone and letting them do what they want to do, but it's actually wanting the best for someone and working towards it. And those are the two things I hear him doing most in this article, that I really want to commend to everybody listening and to you guys, because I think he's right on. I play video games, so I don't think that they're inherently evil, obviously. I enjoy playing them from time to time. But yeah, it seems like it's becoming quite an epidemic as far as from 2000 to 2015, if you just look at these statistics.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that Dr. Hamilton proposes is that we not actively let idleness continue. Like he mentions a lot about parenting and children, that if you're continually supplying food and things like that, you're sort of enabling the idleness, and you should stop doing that out of love for the person. And I thought he rightly actually quoted, because it gets misquoted all the time, 2 Thessalonians 3:10, if a man doesn't work, let him not eat. Because it's not about the American homeless population, but it is about this idleness problem, I think, for sure. So what do you guys think are things that we can do as people who don't have children of this age, in order to maybe help our brothers and sisters who might be struggling with this issue?
Brothers and sisters referring to people in the church?
Yes.
Cool.
I mean, you can always like offer job opportunities if your company's hiring, like help them find something that they might be interested in doing. Like, offer opportunities. With a parental role, many people think of like punishing the child to get them out of their house, to, you know, take the food out of the fridge is something that he mentioned and all that. But you can't really do that with a peer-to-peer relationship. Right. So I think the best thing we can do is offer opportunities. If it's like something that's egregious, then like maybe church discipline. I don't know where church discipline would fit into something like this. It feels a little extreme for this, but I mean, at some point, if it's sin, then we have to call it sin. So,
and there certainly isn't a call to repentance, right? I mean, right. If there's a problem of idleness, that's like what Paul is addressing to the Thessalonians.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly would want to call brothers and sisters to repentance.
Yeah.
I think if possible, try to disciple them, because all of their, like you said, all those words that are being poured into video games, like their ingenuity, could be poured into the kingdom, before getting hired. And I think just as they learn a culture of being productive and not just being consumers, but producing and even better producing for the kingdom, that God will continue working towards them, towards whatever his plan for their life would be, which maybe it would just continue doing kingdom work, or maybe it would be to get a job. But yeah, I think it's a big issue of discipleship. And if they're not willing to be discipled, I think that's a church discipline issue for sure. So I would think move towards that.
It's interesting. What I hear you saying, Tank, is also what I see Dr. Hamilton concluding with. He says, most of all, let's show them that happiness is not found in entertainment, food, or freedom, but in the God who has drawn near to us in Christ. And so we can stir brothers and sisters' affections for their first love, for Jesus, who is much better than any video game.
Mm.
Our sponsor this week is Missionalware, your Reformed theology gift shop. Missionalware designs fun and useful things to broadcast your faith and display your Reformed geek for the world to see. The designs are beautiful, with creeds, quotes, and faces of various reformers available for printing across a variety of items. They've got clothing, like t-shirts, hats, hoodies, that kind of stuff, moleskin journals, drinkware, like beer glasses and insulated tumblers for your coffee, beautiful posters. They've even got like leatherette like portfolio covers, like for keeping your like writing tablets in. They've just got so much stuff. I go over and look every once in a while, and it's just like they keep adding things. It's crazy. They've been in the business for over 6 years, and they've grown an impressive library of designs and items that will appeal to any theologian, whether you're just now stepping into deeper waters or whether you've been a theology nerd for years. Check them out at missionalware.com to get your lifestyle on mission to the glory of God. And thanks to them for sponsoring Tech Reformation.
Derek, what do you got this week?
All right. So I am sending you each a link via your phones because I want you guys to download an app. Try to avoid, looking at the description as you download said app. But I'm interested in hearing your guys.
Hey, I just got a text message from Derek. That's like the first time ever.
Yeah, I know. It's great, isn't it? So I will do a little background music while we're waiting
Mine says coming soon.
Yeah. Okay. So this particular app is not on Android, which stinks. But you know, maybe.
Sorry, half hour listeners.
Yeah. Yeah. $100, Derek. What kind of money do you think I'm making? You know, it's a very special app. You know, you really need to download it in order to get like the idea of what this is.
I got it. It's coming.
So this app is called Binky. Okay, this is a social media app that has no stress associated with it. You get new stuff with every scroll. It's an infinite feed of random things to look at. You don't even have to log in or anything. It's fantastic. You don't have to, interact with people because nothing actually happens with this app. So
it's a social media app that doesn't make any sense and has no context.
Yeah. So if you...
Oh, wait. There's a nice swiping interaction that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Where you can swipe things left or right to say, whoa, wait, it's just random emojis.
Yes, exactly. So you can comment.
Oh, wait, I swiped the instructions away. How do I get those back?
You can star things.
You guys should try commenting on any particular photo.
Try commenting.
That's awesome.
Whoa,
that's
wait so a minute. Cool. Stop it. No, it's not typing what I type.
That's so cool.
I tried to say hello there, and it said, amazing, can't wait to see more, and then like 40 emojis.
Yep.
No matter what I typed.
I tried typing, that's a cool coffee mug, and it says, so on point, # fun, # party on Wayne, # BFFS.
Apparently, they think that you're the hashtag king and I'm the emoji king.
When I tried typing, it's, I don't know, I like this, but it's problematic, all in lowercase, plus then a lot of emojis again as well. So it's like, this is a satire on social media.
Do you know what else? You can rebink a bink and it says, do you want to rebink this bink? This doesn't do anything.
And you can cancel or rebink. And it just feels I'm so fulfilling to rebink that. Right?
Whoa, it flies away with weird emojis. I can rebank the same thing multiple times.
Yep. You can rebank all that you want.
What I think is even funnier is I'm going into their settings section to see what else there is to this app. And literally it says sound on or off. And then
there's nothing. Wait, there's sound?
Yeah.
But literally all it says is give us $3.
Yep.
I'm favoriting things and there's an explosion of stars.
So
that's the sound it makes.
The creator of this app, Dan Kurtz, said it started out as a joke. I was doing a satire on the moments when you're flicking through your apps because you've got nothing better to do. Facebook is too much anger, stress, and sadness, but you want to do something on your phone. Binky solves that problem where you want to scroll through something, but nothing in particular. And then from there, the joke started gathering steam, and then it turned into like basically a Fisher-Price version of a social media app. So, and some people are actually, you know, finding this helpful to like, to be like a nicotine patch for social media. So, I mean, for whatever that's worth, if any of you out in the audience are looking for something to be that nicotine patch, there's that. But something that struck me as I started playing with it was just like, oh yeah, social media a lot of times is really meaningless. Like, it's meant to help you connect with people, but there's a lot of really meaningless interactions that happen. Like liking a photo on someone's page, you've just got a picture of a neck, Craig. But a lot of the
I'm so glad this app exists, but I hope no one actually uses it.
But anyway, so like you like a thing on Facebook or you like something on Twitter or you respond to someone big on Twitter, like really, in the grand scheme of things, you're spending your time on something that like feels good to you, but doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. There are certainly valuable interactions to have, you know, on Facebook and Twitter and other social media apps. But it was just a nice reminder that if you're doing social media for you, it's like a little Ecclesiastes thing. Like it's meaningless. Everything is meaningless on social media unless it's, you know, unless you've got God in the picture, if you're loving others, that sort of thing.
I can't believe I'm about to say this, but do you know where this app falls over?
Where?
If you star something, because there's some actual cool pictures in here.
Uh-huh.
There's a cool picture of an airplane. So I starred it and then I scrolled down or up, and then I scroll back to it and it's still starred. It should clear the star whenever you scroll past it, so that the star also does nothing in the long run.
Yep, yep. Oh my goodness.
Other than that, I think it's perfect. It's a perfect useless app.
Looking at the website, it says a lot of what you're saying there, Derek, that says, just like a real app, Binky supports all the other stuff you do to make you feel like you're doing something while waiting for a bus or whatever. And so I feel like in a lot of ways it ties back into what Ben was saying. You know, it's instead of video games now, it's like social media, you know, where it's you're feeling like you're saving the world for video games. You're feeling like you're being productive and accomplishing, but ultimately it's like meaningless. So instead, just for fun, to tie it back into mine, do Coursera instead and get a degree. That part was unnecessary, but I thought it'd be cool.
Let's see if Craig can keep this tie-in going.
So anyway, I figured you guys would enjoy that.
I've already deleted the app.
Nice.
I don't know what happened. Job. My fingers just started clicking and it deleted itself.
I'm keeping it, man. I'm keeping to wean myself off of social media or something.
There you go. All right, Craig, what do you have for us this week?
Okay, I have a bit of a silly topic as well, but I doubt it'll be quite as much fun as that one. Well, that's a good way to set it up, isn't it?
Lower expectations.
I was listening to the episode that you guys did, by you guys, I mean Derek and Ben, on the WWDC thing, or the six things that Apple did. And I guess I was just wondering, someone made a comment, I think it might have been Ben, but I could be wrong, that Apple has sort of since Steve Jobs passing has kind of been without a leader with vision, charisma, someone who can really, I guess, rally the Apple troops and give it a sort of a purpose and a direction in some way similar to Steve Jobs, someone who can kind of be that figurehead who people look to and go, oh, he's the head of Apple and he's done all these cool things, or he's got all these cool ideas. A bit like at the moment, I guess people do with someone like Elon Musk. They kind of look at him and go, wow, he's really a mover and shaker and he's a little bit eccentric, but he's doing some cool things. So whether or not it's in the tech space, I guess is up for grabs. I mean, Donald Trump's now president, so anything can happen, right? But I just wanted to know if you guys had any thoughts about who could possibly be the next Apple visionary leader, if anyone.
Okay, so I have a lot of issues with this question because it assumes that there needs to be like a visionary leader like Steve Jobs. Now, Tim Cook.
Well, no, hang on. This isn't a serious question, though. Yeah, so I'm just asking you to use your imagination.
Okay,
but that's okay.
Okay, well, the thing is, Tim Cook is well. Okay, you said this is not a serious question, so I shouldn't take this. Is that what you said? Or this is a serious question.
Well, it wasn't intended to be, but you take it whichever road you want to take it, Derek. Maybe this is the 21st century.
Maybe I should not be the one to start out answering this then. How about Ben? Do you want to go?
No, I want to hear what you've got to say about the fact that they don't need a visionary leader.
Okay, so they do have a visionary leader in Tim Cook. It's just a different visionary leader, right? So everyone thinks of Steve Jobs as the product guy, like he's the designer, like super nitpicky on details, wants to really get the thing right, etc.
Tim Cook is the customer satisfaction guy.
Customer sat. Everybody drink.
JD Power and Associates rates us the highest in customer satisfaction yet again this year.
So Tim Cook is more of like he's really come out as like out for social good type of deal. Steve Jobs was never about that. Like he was.
I see what
about
you did
products.
There with that pun, Derek. It was not lost on me.
I did not try to attempt a pun, but
he's
I'm
really
glad
come
it-
out for social good.
don't write us. but the desire for really good products is kind of baked into the company now, and I think that's come out with the, you know, with this last WWDC. They're still on track to make great products. They're still making interesting
things.
Thanks
to Steve Jobs.
Yeah, it was all Steve Jobs. But
Derek, what makes a great product?
Well, that's a little bit of a broad question, Ben.
Well, you said they were on track to make great products. What's a great product? Because I think they have a different definition of that than you do.
I've liked the products that they've been coming out with.
Name three.
Okay,
I like the MacBook. The MacBook Pro is really cool.
They did not come out with the MacBook. That is pre-Steve Jobs.
No, the MacBook Pro with the touch bar. I actually really like it.
Tell us about something
bar
that they've done post-Steve Jobs that you think was a good product innovation.
Okay, so the touch bar is your first one.
I like the Apple Watch. I actually do like the Apple Watch. The Apple Watch is great.
The Apple Watch is your second one.
Having a
Didn't Steve Jobs work on the Apple Watch? Sorry, before we move on.
I think so, but it's okay. I was going to let him have that one.
We are rabbit trailing like crazy here.
Okay. Well, I guess that's interesting. I don't
Derek, I think your fight or flight reaction there was flight.
Yeah. It was.
Okay, I could keep going on this conversation, but it's going to take like the next 15 minutes because there's a lot to like quantify, you know? So,
I think I'm thinking along a similar line to Ben, which is that there haven't been any major advancements since Steve Jobs. There hasn't been a new iPhone in terms of a new product like the iPhone. Oh, hang on. They did that speaker. No, that's not new either. They just haven't. there hasn't been like a groundbreaking change in we're now offering this. We've now created this new thing that's going to fix this problem.
My freshman year of college, I was an Apple hater. I was never going to get Apple anything. And now I have Apple everything, and I quickly became a fanboy. And now I'm regressing out of fanboydom back to haterness because they just can't meet expectations anymore, Derek.
But what if they could, Ben? Who could be a leader that could meet your expectations?
Jesus.
No, but in the tech world. I mean,
okay. I misunderstood the question.
We're talking about Apple here. I mean, Jesus could lead Apple and he'd do it very ethically and he would be much better at being out for social good. Not in the secular out sense, but you know. Anyway, this is going down a worse hole than the rabbit trail. So, Ben, tell us. Tell us who your preferred Apple leader is.
Ben is currently caught up in stitches over presumably something that he wants to say but can't get out of his mouth.
Travis Kalanick.
That's my joke. I just said that earlier.
I stole that joke.
Who is that? I don't even know who that is. Someone's going to have to explain.
That's the CEO of Uber who just got ousted.
Okay.
Wow. So for like terrible leadership things.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm guessing that wasn't serious.
No, it was not.
Have a serious suggestion? Come on, this is more of a train wreck than I thought it was going to be.
Nope.
I agree with your assessment of the problem, Craig. Derek does not. Maybe we'll have a 1-hour crossover episode with Rugged Marriage to settle this.
If there is, I demand to be in it so that someone can be the adjudicator, because that was long.
Next time on Shovel Reformation.
All right, I propose, in the absence of any other... Tank, do you have anything, Tank?
No. Nope.
I'm more than happy to go with an Android user's suggestion for an Apple leader.
Yeah, Google, I guess, then.
Classic. And on that note... I'm going to propose, in the absence of no other leader, someone who's a little bit underground at the moment, who's kind of in the spotlight but not really in the spotlight, someone who's got some history with Apple and kind of knows what it was all about at the beginning and where it should be going, I think, and someone who you wouldn't really pick to be a visionary leader, but I think given the right platform, he's pretty quirky and he could just become... He could sort of just turn into the right sort of person over time, and that's Steve Wozniak.
Yeah, that's not a good idea.
Nope.
He's a nerd. He's not a person.
I know it's a terrible idea, but I want him to do something.
Yeah, it would be awesome to see if Steve Wozniak would do something other than just like
if talk Steve
about
Wozniak
stuff.
Would come in and say, you know what, Steve Jobs isn't here anymore. I know what he was trying to do. We can still do it, but Tim Cook's not your guy. I am.
I agree with Derek.
Do something like that. Yeah, so do I in the long term, but hey, it was fun to think about.
It's
for
5 seconds.
It's
a fun idea, but yeah.
And this will be the last episode of Tech Reformation. Because I agreed with Derek.
I gotcha.
Okay.
If you would like to connect with us, you can join us on the Slack at slack.techreformation.com. We had a ton of conversation over last week's episode about tech neutrality. If you want to see that, go there, because it's way too much to talk about on the episode.
Ongoing as of this morning.
Yeah, still. So get on there, give us your opinion, and yeah, it'd be fun. slack.techreformation.com. And you can join us on Twitter at Tech Reformation. By the way, follow up from that poll a couple of weeks ago.
No.
I officially won the slap bet.
Stop.
So sometime in the future.
You won the slap bet. You won the slap bet, but Ben definitely won the tech neutrality discussion.
Okay, so we're not going there because this is going to go even way longer otherwise. So go to our Twitter at Tech Reformation. Go to our tutor at Tech Reformation. And
tutor.
Our tutor?
We're back to online learning. We're bringing it around.
This has been Tech Reformation. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. And I ain't looking back.
I'll edit that into something.
Hey, Derek, sorry if I was meant to do the Twitter. I was on Binky.
No, that's okay. I figured Ben was going to do it, but that's okay. You bink it up.
I just starred the neck picture.